This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. 7:38 in the morning, Thursday the 11th of March, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Noel, what's happening today?
I'll be speaking to Alan Law, CEO of Park Hotel Group. They are headquartered in Singapore. Well, Alan comes from a billionaire family in Hong Kong. His father started Bossini. You might recall the retail fashion brand. So Alan was brought in to expand the family's Park Hotel Group, which now owns and operates close to 30 properties across the region. Their first hotel in Malaysia is in Malacca, and that's under construction. I think there's been some delay because of COVID-19. But his family are, you know, astute business people, and so I hope to discuss the opportunities he sees as more hotels are closing down or are coming up for sale. And just some trends.
That'll be an interesting conversation happening later after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. In the meantime, we are looking over at the US, where Congress has just passed a mammoth $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. Now, it cleared the final congressional hurdle on Wednesday as the House of Representatives passed it 220 to 211. It includes a third round of stimulus checks, expanded and extended unemployment insurance, as well as billions in funding for schools, public health, as well as state and local government aid.
Yeah, I think it was passed just a few hours ago. And in the run-up to this bill passing, though, markets have been plagued with concerns that the massive fiscal spending will trigger inflation, which has been largely absent for the past decade, but has become a key word over the last few weeks. Reflecting those concerns, the yield on the 10-year Treasury, U.S. Treasury note hit 1.6% this week, though it has since fallen to 1.5% or thereabouts. It started the year below 1%.
And so to find out how the stimulus bill will affect the US economy and bond markets, joining us on the show this morning is Padraig Garvey, Regional Head of Research for the Americas at ING Financial Markets. Thanks so much for joining us today, Padraig. The House is expected to put the final stamp of approval on this $1.9 trillion stimulus package, and they just have. So how much of an impact do you expect that to have on economic recovery and GDP growth in the US?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. Look, this is a massive number. We're talking about almost $2 trillion. You got to contextualize that against the size of the U.S. economy. It's about $20 trillion. So it's about 10% of the size of the economy. So it can't help but support the economy. And it's not the first one of these we've had. So, you know, the U.S. economy is doing quite well right now, but this really does help. And where it really helps is on the savings front. What's happened in the U.S. is that there's been a massive build of savings, and it means that when we get to the end of the COVID nightmare we're currently in, there is going to be a lot of pent-up demand, which will come to the fore and manifest in good growth. So this package certainly pushes in that direction.
Well, markets have been spooked by fears of inflation, although the latest data showed that core CPI increased just 0.1% month on month. So are concerns about inflation overblown, or do you think the latest round of stimulus might cause the economy to overheat?
It's certainly pushing in the same direction as the overall reflation theme that has dominated over the past couple of months. And I would say about this that this is a luxury problem. A year ago, we were worrying whether we would be able to manufacture inflation. We've seen, you know, over the past number of decades that the Eurozone has failed to manufacture inflation. Similar story for Japan. The U.S. has a bit of a track record here. The U.S. has done it before during the aftermath of the financial market crisis, preventing deflation. And we're looking ahead to the likelihood that we have inflation of around 3%. It could hit 4%. The Fed thinks it gets back down to 2%. But we're not necessarily expecting inflation to be a problem per se. It's actually a beneficial thing, especially if you run up high debts, because inflation reduces the real value of debt. So it's not all bad, and the bond market is pricing in certainly a reflation episode ahead.
Padraig, how much do you think the stimulus package will be able to spur consumer spending?
So it'll have a significant impact. And the thing about this is that we have a consumer here in the US that is gunning to spend. It absolutely is. It's just, where do you spend it? That's the issue. The you know, the entertainment venues, the restaurants, the bars, the travel is mostly not attainable. So what this will do is it'll put more money into the pockets of those that really need it to spend basically to stay alive, to keep their families fed. But for those that have that kind of luxury of knowing that their families are fed, it'll go into savings. But once the economy really reopens, which will probably be over the course of the summer, it will manifest in a boost to consumer spending. So we're looking for GDP growth this year of 6.5% in the US. And you don't get 6.5% GDP growth without the consumer fully getting involved in that. So big for the consumer, absolutely.
Right. And you know, when we talk about this consumer spending spurred by the stimulus, we of course have to talk about the funding as well. And the Treasury Department is expected to issue $120 billion of new bonds this week. I think a few hours ago, they auctioned $38 billion of 10-year Treasury notes. Do you think, with all this in mind, because last month's sale of the 7-year notes flopped, will there be sufficient demand for the rest of the issuance?
Yeah, there was a bit of an issue with the 7-year a couple of weeks back. It was problematic, and many market participants point to that as being a bit of a hiccup. Now, I don't know. I feel that this move we've had in rates to the upside, I don't believe it's really been a supply-driven move. I'm not saying supply isn't important. Absolutely it is. But by the evidence of this week so far, because we had threes yesterday, tens today, as you said, we got 30s tomorrow. The auctions are going okay. There's been a bit of a concession built into the supply. And one of the remarkable things about this period generally is that investors do show up and buy paper at extraordinarily low yield levels. Now, I think there will come a point where supply becomes a problem, but I don't think we're there just yet. I genuinely believe this is a repricing of the marketplace based on what we see on the fundamental front, retail sales, production, inflation, and the like, as opposed to supply pressure.
So, Patrick, yield of the 10-year Treasury notes has broached 1.6%, the highest since the pandemic hit, although it's now since fallen a bit. Is this a mere temporary spike as the Treasury issues more debt?
So I think we're on a journey here. We've gone from 1%. In fact, we've gone from 50 basis points a year ago to 1% and now to 1.5%. And yes, we spiked to 1.6. We came back down to 1.5. What I look at here is well, I ask a question: is this the real deal? Is this real reflation ahead? And I think the answer is yes. And if that's the case, we shouldn't have a negative real yield in the 10-year of minus 70 basis points, which is what we currently have. So if this is the real deal, that negative real yield should move much closer to zero, which means that 10-year nominal yield, currently at 1.5, should really be heading towards 2%. So it's in my mind, it's a question of how fast will this happen? And this pause we're seeing right now is actually quite healthy, because it's preventing risk assets from getting too concerned about this uplift in rates. But I've no doubt that there's more upside to rates to come, market rates, over the next number of weeks and months.
Well, given the situation, and we know the dollar has climbed to its strongest level in about 4 months, do you expect that it will then continue this momentum?
Actually not. What we have going forward is a reflation environment with a kind of a synchronization of global growth, which is typically not great for the dollar. And secondly, what you have in the US at the moment is high inflation, which is not good for currencies, theoretically, and still, you know, quite deep negative real rates. And that's also not supportive for the dollar. So I actually expect the dollar to resume a weakening trend as a theme over the next number of months, which, by the way, would be something that would be welcomed in the emerging market arena, because a strong dollar can cause all kinds of problems for issuers that have high dollar liabilities. So looking for the dollar to re-weaken ahead.
Padraig, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Padraig Garvey of ING Financial Markets giving us a look at the US economy as well as the performance of the US dollar, what we can expect given that we have seen the $1.9 trillion stimulus package as well pass in the US House of Congress overnight.
Yeah, so I think it's just so fluid now, right, the situation. And I think, like, I also point to this interview is actually also follows on from our interview with Vishnu earlier with Mizuho Bank, and where he says that we also need to see what are some forward-looking statements that the Fed might give us as hints on what Powell feels about inflation.
Yeah, this is definitely given investors a little bit of scare over the last few weeks. We've seen growth stocks take a little bit of a dive. We've seen more money move into cyclicals. And we've seen the likes of Tesla. I think earlier this week, the symbol of over enthusiasm. There's a particular word I'm looking for.
Exuberance.
Thank you, Noel. These have all come to the fore, and some frothiness may have come off. We are seeing some of our analysts say that this could be an opportunity to buy the dip, but hey, you could be catching a falling knife as well. So it's end of the day, the accountability is on you.
So up next, we're going to be taking a look at the subject of how millennials are perhaps spending beyond their means with Siti Aisha Tumin from Khazanah Research Institute. That's happening after these couple of messages, so keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.